And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out with Matthew Tosh and Laura Lelamy.
Hello, we're augmenting our levels of ecstasy this week as we delve into the world of Tantra.
I'm already feeling the anticipation. Meanwhile, the Brixtow team brings you its monthly update.
I will have the latest with Kiki, where we focus on cutie pock issues.
And we also talk about the International LGBTQ STEM Day and bring you up to date with the latest LGBTQ news. Close your eyes, sit back and enjoy Shout Out. I'm just wondering, I shouldn't say close your eyes. If you're driving at the moment and you're listening to us,
do not close your eyes.
Could you please open your eyes now? I don't like emails.
Even if it was for a split second, open them again.
Yeah.
We're good.
I do get emails, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, they're not very good ones. Oh. I can't read them out on air. Anyway, how are you?
I am actually really good. I'm enjoying the sunshine for once in my life.
Very good. We should probably say to the listeners that you were wincing a little bit when you came through the door, weren't you?
Yeah, so as promised, my hair is now a purple-blue colour, much to everyone's, glee. But apart from mine, it actually really hurts. Like, I can't sleep. I have to sleep upright. So, yeah, it's beauty is pain, and I am a living proof of that. So, yeah, I hope everyone appreciates the effort I've gone to just for my fans.
It works on the radio, actually. It works really well on the radio.
I think it does. Well, the many pictures that I've been taking, it works on the radio. So, yes, I love it.
We've got Steph Barnett here tonight as well. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. And you look beautiful.
Oh, why, thank you. Compliments will get you everywhere, Steffi.
Thank you.
You know this.
I thought she was talking to me.
You're beautiful as
Who
well,
are you again?
Matthew.
We have Hans Peregrine as well.
You do.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Jolly good, jolly good. And lots in the show. Really interesting show this week because we've got this, we're talking about Tantra.
I know.
And that's turned a few heads when I mentioned that to friends earlier. Oh, wow, that's a really... And it is genuinely very interesting topic. And tantric is the adjective, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
A fusion of sexual energy and spirituality. Terry Starr is our news editor this week.
That's me, isn't it? A fusion of something.
How you doing?
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, you are a fusion of sexual energy and spirituality.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That's very
kind
of you.
I can feel it.
It's a long time since I felt any sexual energy.
I mean, can't say the same thing, but you know.
Now, Terry tells me he's celebrating a very special occasion today. Terry, would you like to explain what this is?
This week, I'm marking 30 years since I first spoke on the wireless. As a 15-year-old boy. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's a long time
ago. You couldn't
ago.
Even tell 30 what? No.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're gorgeous as now as you ever were.
That's so kind of you.
It's no problem.
But yes, it's a long time ago. So,
so Terry, if you don't mind me asking, where did it actually start for you, the radio?
I've always been, I mean, we were talking off mic actually, how we were, you know, got into radio. I mean, I've always been a fan of radio since I was a kid. And in the 1980s, it was a very exciting time to be interested in radio because there was, you know, lots going on. There was Radio West, which was our local station based at the Watershed here in Bristol. There's BBC Radio Bristol, of course. Our colleagues up there were going. There was also a huge number of pirate stations because community radio wasn't legal in those days. So that's where I started, on land-based pirate radio.
So the community stations were the essentially pirate stations?
They were in those days, yeah. And had a huge impact. I mean, many of the people you find on BCFM and Ujima Radio today, which are two of the community stations here in Bristol, many of them cut their teeth on illegal stations back in the day, including Pat Hart and DJ Donovan on Ujima from City Rockers Crew was on BAD Radio back in the day.
Just writing the names down of these criminals.
Yeah. and taking stock.
A very, very important period. And that's how I started. So it was enormous fun as well. There was something quite fun about breaking the law. And I have stood on top of hills with a transmitter and a sports bag. And we'll go into it.
Because I mean, that's actually how a lot of radio professionals that are still working or coming to the end of retirement now actually started. They started in pirate radio as well.
Oh yeah, I mean some of the old school, like Tony Blackburn and the late Kenny Everett, and you know Ed Stewart, and that, they were of course were on offshore stations when Britain was ringed by an armada of unlicensed stations on ships and abandoned wartime gunning towers in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, Terry, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for your contributions to Shout Out.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
You were one of the stalwarts that got the thing going. So,
I was there right from the start.
And you're still here.
Yeah.
And we love you.
And so,
thank you.
One of the things we're doing tonight is you actually selected some of the music, so we'll come back to you a little bit later.
Sure.
About the tracks that you've selected. Right now, though, it's time to go and see what Aled and Andy have got. It's the Brigstow Five.
Hello, and welcome to July's edition of the Brigstow My Five. It is that time of the month again. So welcome, everybody. It's a busy old month, July, so we're going to be letting you know where you can catch us and give you some information too. So this month I'm joined again by Andy.
Hi, hello there, everybody.
And he is one of our fabulous volunteers. So if you hadn't seen anything from local media last night, i.e. Wednesday during the day, then catch it all on the iPlayer. It is going to be, it's some fantastic work that Brigstow have collaborated with North Bristol NHS Trust to amend policies, which is going to reduce any further stigma and discrimination happening. And it was a really positive, collaborative working relationship between us and the Trust. And we applaud MBT for that. And if anybody out there, regardless of whether it's in a healthcare setting or not, is receiving any stigma and discrimination from any organisations or employers, then please do contact Brigstow. Let us know. We can help you to amend any policies that need to. We can put in letters of complaints and we can support you in that process. So if you want to contact us, then just follow us on any of our social medias and you can drop us a message there. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Or you can email us at info@brigstow.org, or you can call us on 0117 955 038. That's 0117 955 038. So, yes, go on the iPlayer if you hadn't noticed it already. Next thing on the list, it's summer. Supposed to be. The weather has turned slightly, so I'm grateful that it's now sunny, very much so. So we're just going to let you know where you can catch us, because it's busy for everyone and it's busy for Brigstow too. So we're going to be at St. Paul's this weekend, St. Paul's Carnival, and we're really, really excited. So if you are out and about in St. Paul's, then do look for the Brigstow stand and you can come and chat to us.
Secondly, myself and the awesome Brigstow team will be at Bristol Pride. We've got a stand there. You can recognise us in our bright pink T-shirts with Brigstow plaster over the front. Please come along. You can see the face behind the voice. We're all fairly friendly, so come along and say hi. It would be great to meet you all.
Yeah, we're going to be in the march as well, which is going to be great. So we're going to be making lots and lots of noise and telling everybody about the U equals U message. So undetectable equals untransmittable. And people living with HIV who are on effective treatment cannot pass the virus on to their partners. We'll also be giving you information about PrEP, general HIV, where you can get tested, giving you all of that information and information about Brigstow and the services that we do, just in case you or somebody you do know would like our support. And then after Bristol Pride, where are we going to be, Andy?
Weston-super-Mare.
We are. So we are travelling down to Weston-super-Mare. So, yes, if you're not coming to Bristol Pride, but you're going to Weston-super-Mare Pride, then you can join us there and you can join in all of the fun, the giggles. And again, we're going to be marching. We're going to have a stall. So come over and chat to us and find out more about our services. It's going to be a great, great packed summer, as Bristol always is. Congratulations to Bristol Pride and their 10-year anniversary this year. And the move to the Downs. It's going to be a really special day. So St. Paul's this Saturday, which is the 6th of July, Bristol Pride on the 13th of July, Weston-super-Mare Pride on the 27th of July. Find us, come and speak to us, wear our stickers, get glitter ribbons put all over you. So yes, it's going to be lots and lots of fun. But I think for this month that is going to be it, unless you want to say
just come along to Pride in Bristol, and I say see the face behind the voice, meet the rest of the brilliant team, and have an amazing Pride.
Yes, whatever you're doing this summer, wherever you are, stay safe, be good, be amazing, and yes, we will speak to you very, very soon. Thank you, good night.
Bye from us.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Walking on a Dream, that's Empire of the Sun, and it's one of the tracks that Terry's picked for tonight's show. Is that, why was that one significant?
If you know what do you know what, Matthew? It was in the charts at about the time I was writing the precy for what became Shout Out. I was at my parents' house on a period, I was off sick for a while from work, so I went up to my mum and dad's and I wrote this idea that there should be an LGBT magazine programme in the Bristol area. And that was originally called, do you want to know what it was originally called?
What?
The Outcast, as in out and cast. But Andy Shilton, great Andy, you know, he came on and he said, that really gives the wrong idea because it could be misconstrued as
kind of
like The Outcast.
Yeah.
So we changed it to Shout Out. But that's why I chose
Excellent
that track.
Name.
And I love it. It's a great track.
Okay, well, we're going to come to our first interview of the show now. We're going to be talking Tantra and tantric sex and tantric practices. Jason Tantra is here from Tantra for Gay Men. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm going to ask the first question. Why specifically men, if I may ask that question, and why specifically gay men? But before we do that, let's just talk about what Tantra is, because it's a word we hear quite a lot. And there'll be some people listening. I have to confess, I don't know a huge amount about it.
Okay.
Where did it start and what does it mean?
Well, back in ancient times, Tantra is a Buddhist Hindu pathway to enlightenment. So, like, for example, you have meditation practices or you have yoga. Tantra was actually one of the, as I said, Buddhist Hindu practices to enlightenment. And then in the 1970s, there was a mystic called Osho, and he created this thing called Neo-Tantra. So all Tantra schools in the Western world and in the US are all teaching this thing called Neo-Tantra, which is made up of a collection of meditations, of yoga, of like tantric massages. You may have heard of that. But for me, what that is all aiming to do is, like the original Tantra, taking people to much more profound states of awakening, of enlightenment. And kind of what that means, because I appreciate that all sounds like hooky kooky words and very like new agey. So if I kind of try and make that sound a little bit more. But I mean, people typically in my work that have, you know, have come to events that I'm doing feel much freer. They find that their sex that they have is much more liberated. And they just find themselves more freer, more open, more relaxed, more kind of in love with life. And the reason why I talk about it as a spiritual practice is, if we talk about the O word, the orgasm word, I always ask people, what is it you're thinking about when you're in that state? Whether you're on your own with a digital support aid, you may be with another person and or in a crowd, it doesn't matter. But at that moment, like the moment, like what is it that you're actually thinking about? And people tell me they're thinking about nothing. Well, that is what every other spiritual practice is doing. Like the Buddhist meditations, they spend months in silence, looking at the floor, looking for that state of silence. And so what Tantra does is it helps you use your sexual energy in a way to have very profound, open spiritual experiences. Like people in my work have, they describe ecstasy in their body literally just by fingertips, but it feels like 10,000 volts of energy. And this thing called enlightenment is about being able to see yourself beyond your ego. So that's kind of what you're trying to do. Let go of the day-to-day you and find the part of you that's more than who you think you are.
Okay, so to start, I'm getting the sense it's linked to a form of well-being, where Tantra started. Is that right?
Tell me what.
Well, when you're sort of like mental, it's about mental well-being. You're sort of where it started. That's what I'm trying to get at. Where did it? What was it? You're talking about the this enlightenment.
Yes.
Can you give an example? So you're
okay. Well, let me maybe flip it around the other way. So people will typically come to us. Bum bum. People will come to us because they're kind of dissatisfied, or okay. a lot of my clients will have histories of sexual abuse, and maybe they've done counselling for years, and they get the feelings, they understand what's happening, but there's nothing really out there to help people work through their body, and so. You know, this is kind of stored up in people's bodies. They still are holding some of that trauma. And actually what Tantra does is enables them in a very safe, boundaried, contained way to start looking at themselves, in relationships to their sexual energy, and be able to start working through the missing parts so that, you know, they can have a healthy sexual relationship, so that they can, you know, feel happier in their life. So people tend to be drawn to Tantra because they're kind of dissatisfied with life, or they're dissatisfied with things around them, and they're looking for something more.
So what's the funnest part for you in the whole process of it? Like, so when you're with someone, helping them establish their like sexual energy, which I love, by the way, really appreciate that. So what is it? What is the important part for you in terms of the whole process?
I think for me... I've over 10,000 men have been through my work in last 13 years. And I think the bit that touches me, I might even cry at this point, the bit that touches me is when people are really held back, for example, by some abuse in their life. I don't know if you know, I trained as a counsellor in Bristol. I used to work for MASH and Kinergy as voluntary agencies in Bristol. And for me, Tantra was the next bit on in that healing journey. And my job satisfaction is when somebody really makes a breakthrough and they're able to take that back into their day-to-day life, and they're able to feel a bit freer, a bit happier, and kind of a bit more in love with life and love in the world, you know. So when you talk about well-being and mental health, Tantra takes no prisoners. It's like a steam train of a personal development path. But, I promise people, it is the most liberating, the most ecstatic experience that people have in their lives.
How long would you say, I mean, I don't like to put a time on anyone because obviously everyone's different, but it's like... Is it really a process for people? Like, does it take a long time to open up, or is it straight away like, yep, you got sexual energy and let me work with that? Do you know what I mean? Like, because obviously I feel like I've got a lot of sexual energy, so I wouldn't really need coaxing that much.
No.
Well, not for anyone's information, but you know what I mean? But do you know what I mean?
I'm knowing you more now, Laura.
Oh, I hope so. Wait till later. What's the process kind of like for someone? Listening?
We do different things in different places. So one of the things I'd love to talk about later is the Tantra Love Festival in Glastonbury. Yeah. I'll talk about that. That's really good fun. But then we do like deeper dive week-long retreats. Actually, I'm just about to go and do 2 1-week deep dive Tantra retreats in Glastonbury. But also some of my team are doing like introductory evenings in London, Manchester, Leeds, Brighton, and across Europe and in the USA. And then there's like weekends that we do. So like the gentler ways in are like the festival weekends, evenings. And then when you're ready to take the plunge, people come and spend a week. And I've just done one. I just came back from New York because I did one last week. 18 men. Do you know something? If you could see the look of surrender and bliss in their eyes, I can't find words that can communicate the healing that's happened for them and the transformation and changes that they've made in that 1 week with me.
That sounds amazing. And yeah, you just seeing it because you can't see your face on the radio, but it's clearly something that you find incredibly rewarding. On that point there about the success stories that you see, and you see that sense of liberation in men, what can I ask, what made you decide to focus on men in particular? Are men a particular vulnerability?
Yes.
Can this process be applied to women as well?
Yes. So for me, I'm a gay man. I don't know if that's obvious at all, but I kind of know how that all works. So sure. I kind of felt like that was where my calling was and what I felt I could establish. And what's in my vision and in my heart is I look for me as a gay man, like when I used to go out to the pubs and I look at generally how gay men treat each other, you know, without any judgments. But for me, I'm like, we can do better. We can actually take it a step further forward. So what does it look like when 130 men get together in the name of love and complete strangers and people are having profound experiences of touch, of hugging, of just being met, being seen, being witnessed, and then sort of like bringing some sort of like tantra exercises and practices in? It's almost like just a very different way of being in a very different community where love is the core foundation.
Do you think that's then the starting point is we maybe don't quite know how to react because of the pressures of masculinity and, you know, or men should be touchy-feely? Is that perhaps where it's starting?
I guess what I just see, the people that sit in my workshop rooms are people that feel sometimes maybe lonely. Well, not even lonely, like lacking touch, lacking contact. Maybe there's something that's happened in their history, like abuse. You know, for me, in my own personal story, you know, I have a history of childhood abuse. And for me, my tantra training was traumatic because I was really dealing with some very hard, difficult issues. It was really quite a traumatic period. Yet at the same time, it showed me a freedom and a bliss and an ecstasy that no other practice in my life has ever done. And I just felt that actually, if there's something that good, that should be out there, that should be really available to people.
Would you expand it to more genders and areas? As in terms of, I know you personally wouldn't, because obviously you go for gay. Well, with gay men, that's
yes.
what your field is. But would you want to expand to more different...
Already established, would you believe, in heterosexual land, there's a lot of tantra.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of tantra.
I can imagine.
And for me, and there's some other practitioners around the world that are waving the gay tantra flag, I'm sad to see... Well, there's my friends at Queer Spirit. I think they were here a few years ago. And I have a lot of friends in that community that are offering work for people with different gender identities. But for example, I see some really big gaps there. And I've said, do you know something? If there's somebody that's willing and wanting, I'll give them everything they need to get them set up. Because I really feel that our community deserve different ways of exploring their freedom through their sexuality,
definitely,
however they are.
Definitely.
We're talking to Jason Tantra from Tantra for Gay Men here on Shout Out. Jason, you mentioned that you go to festivals and you do the introductory ones. You say you've got one coming up at Glastonbury soon.
Yes, what I would love to tell you about is the Tantra Love Festival. There's 130 men, and would you believe they come in from all over the world?
Really?
So I think already we're around the 95 mark, and people coming in from the USA, Australia, a lot from Europe. Yeah, it's global.
Wow, you've taken it international.
But and that's Saturday the 24th of August to Wednesday the 28th, and I bring in global tantra teachers. So Brad's coming in from North Carolina, Moxie's coming in from the Netherlands, Andreas is coming in, and actually Andreas and Jonathan are coming in from the Netherlands. They seem to be getting a lot, and also some other local teachers. But it's like a 5-day celebration celebration of Tantra. I think over 40 different Tantra-related workshops at this huge retreat centre in Glastonbury. People are crying as they're leaving on the last day because they've just been in this total wonderland of love. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, the day you die and what you think heaven would be like. That's my vision about what I create at this festival. And men that...
A little piece of heaven.
Yeah, they just feel completely... And they've learned some stuff and they kind of take that back into their lives.
So how do you find out about that? So how? Where would I go to... Well, not me personally, but where would I send someone?
You could go there, Laura, if you wanted the information.
You know what? You're going to have to hold me back from not going because right now I feel like I need a little piece of heaven. So...
Well, listen, I've got a special offer for your listeners. So the website is tantra4gaymen.co.uk.
So just again, that's Tantra for Gay Men. Tantra for Gay Men.co.uk.
That's it. And if you go there, you're going to see all about the festival. And if you have a look at it, watch the films, you think, right, I'm going to book up, I'm going to go. If you put in the promo code shoutout, we will give you £50 off your ticket to say thank you
for
listening.
You heard it here first.
Damn. Well, I get on that, definitely. I cannot wait to see people there. Well, I can't. For you, I can't. I keep feeling I'm inserting myself into this. But
Laura, we'll have a little chat afterwards. well, listen, Jason, thank you so much for coming to talk to us. We've come to the end of our time slot, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
About that. It's Jason Tantra from Tantra for Gay Men. If you want more information, go to the website tantraforgaymen.co.uk. You heard the promo code as well. Shout out if you book on any of their courses. It's Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Your love keeps lifting me higher and higher. Jackie Wilson there, very appropriate track. We've just been talking about Tantra as well, and what a fantastic offer as well, exclusive to Shout Out. Makes it all worthwhile listening to the show, doesn't it?
It certainly does. That was an absolutely brilliant feature. I really enjoyed listening to that.
If you want to listen to that interview back again, you're thinking there was lots of long words and I want to absorb it more and build it as part of your tantric journey, then just go to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. You find all the podcast versions of the shows there. Right, the news team have just swung into the studio.
Very swinging.
We'll get some news.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 4th of July.
Hydra Bookstore here in Bristol has temporarily closed as it vacates its premises at 34 Old Market Street. The Radical and Alternative Bookstore opened in 2011 and was initially an offshoot of the Bristol Radical History Group. Staffed by volunteers, it quickly carved out a niche as a reference point for political literature and stocked a wide range of alternative subjects, including vegetarian, vegan, LGBT, feminism, anarchism, and peace issues. The proprietor of the building has taken back the lease, and the spot, now a prime location on the growing alternative village of Old Market Street, is slated for redevelopment. Hydra say that they hope to reopen somewhere else shortly, and we hope that it will be an easily accessible place for people who use the Old Market gay scene. Bristol has had numerous alternative bookstores over the years. Among the past roll call include Freedom on Cheltenham Road in the 40s, Full Marks on Stokes Croft in the 1980s, and the Greenleaf Bookshop on Colston Street in the 1990s and noughties. Whereas Hydra covers political issues, another shop called the Dragon's Gallery, which also recently closed, served alternative spirituality. Now, shops that continue for the time being and do stock LGBT and feminist books in the city include the Amnesty International shop on Gloucester Road, Bloom and Curl on Colston Street, and Rough Trade on Nelson Street.
Corporate support of the LGBT movement is a contentious issue and unpopular with some parts of the community, particularly the young and more radical elements. Nonetheless, it is also true that many Pride events could not take place without the support of some commercial interests, whether local gay bars or national corporations. The pill might be a little easier to swallow when organisations use their platform to give LGBT rights publicity and to agitate for equality. In Bristol, the city where this programme originates, numerous businesses have taken on rainbow colours to mark Pride season. Among them are Sainsbury's stores, who have decked their reception areas with bunting, and the British Heart Foundation, whose flagship regional shops in Bristol's Horse Fair has rainbow-themed displays and posters reminding us that LGBT people often experience heart trouble, as do heterosexuals and cisgender people. Waterstones booksellers, however, have the most prominent display of the major corporations, with indoor and window-facing displays showcasing LGBT literature.
The well-being of a journalist who took exception on Twitter to London Zoo's male-male coupled penguins has been questioned by many LGBT and atheist activists. The respected LGBT newswire Pink News took up the story on Wednesday and revealed how Caroline Farrow, who identifies herself as a conservative member of the Roman Catholic tradition, ranted at great length on social media at London Zoo having a male-male penguin couple and for including this information on exhibit points so that people could become aware of homosexuality within the animal kingdom. Her angry outburst was found by many science experts to be highly inaccurate. For example, she wrote that the penguins were deviant. Atheist bloggers were keen to stress that this doesn't actually make any scientific sense. Animals cannot be deviant, as this is a moral concept and only hangs together if you accept the liturgical assertion of people like Farrow. When Miss Farrow responded by repeating her claims in a louder fashion, one writer countered that she may well be unwell at the present time. They pointed out, a classic definition of a delusion is a belief which is pursued even when all evidence to the contrary is presented to the individual holding that belief.
BBC Radio 1 reports that 11.7 million people tuned in to see the England Lionesses take on the United States in the Women's World Cup. The audience, who were watching on a number of networks including the BBC, Sky Sports and BT Sports, was the highest ever recorded for the women's football game in the United Kingdom. The Women's World Cup, says the Guardian newspaper, has a huge impact on attitudes towards the game in the UK. Even small boys who traditionally have been difficult to win over to the women's game are very interested in the events around the World Cup.
And finally, are you a fan of LGBT science fiction? We know that there are a lot of women, trans and gay people who are well into science fiction, whether it be exploratory discussions of future feminist utopias or non-gender binary alien invasions or lycra-clad space marines in hot male-on-male action. That's my one. There's room for all our interests in the world of queer science fiction. And there is a website which aims to be a portal onto the whole gay, lesbian, bi and trans sci-fi scene. You can visit queersci-fi.com for book reviews, links to other websites and discussions of the latest products from the wide range of speculative fiction of value and use to the LGBT fantasy and sci-fi community. And remember the immortal lines of our dear friends the Daleks. Resistance is useless.
For these news stories and more, please visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Ava Max there. And so am I. I feel like so am I. It is a shout out. And our second feature of tonight's show is Kiki. It's the monthly input from Kiki. Let's see what Lara has to say.
Lara, and I'm here with DJ Devolicious.
Devolicious. Yes.
I got it right. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think is really prevalent in not only the black community, but every community, which is, can you separate the art from the artist? And I'm here talking to Linda because she is a DJ and she plays music, amazing music. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to establish like where the line is, so especially with homophobic lyrics. So you're talking about that song,
yeah, so there's a song that I'm sure many people know by it's called Bum Bye Bye, and it's by Buju Banton, and it came out many years ago, and it was really controversial because in it Bujibantan basically encourages people to kill gay to batty boys, as he uses the language, as that's the language he uses. And it was really controversial. Obviously, when you go to an event with predominantly black and people of colour audience, we listen to Raga, dancehall, etc. That's the dance music. Yeah. And so that was like a massive issue for a lot of, well, certainly for me as a DJ. I'm always a bit conflicted about whether you play something because it's got a really good beat. But personally, for me, I can't listen to something like that on my headphones and be like singing along and okay with the lyrics. And if I can't listen to it personally, then I can't really then like put an audience through it. And like, you know, we just try and ignore the thing. Though I have been out and heard in a gay club, I've heard that music playing. Really? So it's like, and people justify it like, oh, it's just got a good beat and it's from our community. And we're just fine with it. And we're sort of, it's a bit like the using the N-word, you know, kind of that kind of justification on, oh, we're just reclaiming it. But I'm sorry. For me, if something I'm listening to feels like I'm pouring acid into my ears, like I'm actually abusing myself with the music, because I'm like advocating someone talking about me like that, then that just can't fly.
So
I can't do it.
So would you then cancel the artist completely after you heard that one song? Because DMX, to me, I've heard a lot of his lyrics, and X Gonna Give It To You, I love that song. But then I also listened to a lot of his other music, and it was so homophobic and encouraging, like saying that like gay men aren't great and like they're disgusting and things like that. So I stopped listening to their music purely because of that. So do you separate that? Do you separate that one song, or do you keep it?
Well, interestingly, Bujibantan got you know pulled up for it heavily, and he actually came like later on apologized about his song and the hatred that it was preaching, and sort of went back on it. I still can't play his song, that song, but I will listen to his music because he acknowledged what he'd done wrong. Exactly the same thing with Stormzy. Stormzy, I can't remember what the track was, but said some quite like derogatory things about gay people, and he like apologized and didn't he recently work with an artist who's openly gay? I can't remember who it was.
I can't remember.
Yeah, so he's like put his money where his mouth is and acknowledged that he's done something wrong and then done something to go beyond
himself.
That
absolutely.
So for those sort of people I have a lot of respect. I mean, the same thing happens with like I often tend to play sort of women centric, woman positive music, because of being female, like I want to hear music that uplifts women and just generally people. So any kind of record, really, any music that's like dissing somebody, I'm less inclined to play. There's so much amazing music out there. If I don't drop that one tune, we'll all live.
Do you think that should be a standard for the whole DJing music community? I know that's a massive thing to say, but I'm asking personally, would you say that it's important for everyone to have those kind of standards?
I think it's a good idea. I think it will raise, obviously we don't want things to become all like, what's the word, Pollyanna, perfect, you know, we all like a bit of grime and like, you know, sort of sexy stuff, and we'd like I want some gritty music. I want music to still, you know, but I mean, like, even Christians are making like Christian grime, do you know what I mean?
So I
would never be the person who would like shut people down, like you mustn't do that or everyone should do something, because I still play some stuff that's quite edgy, but I don't like things that directly attack or insult or put down someone. I don't think it's necessary. So I think if more and more, like if you've noticed with grime artists, a lot of grime is moving out of all the stuff about gangs and guns,
and being
because
more
there's more to life. Like, is it the music is about kind of urban grittiness and a beat, so you can still rap about life and spit about life without having to talk about killing someone, because that's not what's making the music good.
No,
it's your flow that makes the music good. So I think the more like DJs and producers and stuff play music that's not glorifying violence, misogyny, homophobia, the less artists are inclined to do it. It makes people step up their creativity, as far as I'm concerned.
It does.
You know,
because it's so important, especially when, because music is such a wide influence on everyone. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that music will influence anyone to kill anyone, but I'm just saying it's just one of those things where you don't want kids listening to music that is derogatory to towards gay people, especially with the Equality Act now being acted and schools bringing in more education about gay rights and things like that. You don't want that kind of rhetoric to keep on going. So I don't know, would you stop playing, so you stop playing that kind of music, isn't
it? I just don't. I mean, I just, yeah, I don't have a problem not playing it. Like I said, there's loads of music, good music out there. Why do we need to play stuff that's hurting, like actually directly attacking people,
so you
or promoting
killing
people? Sorry,
so
excuse me.
So you would separate the art from the artist then?
Because yeah, as in I won't. Like, I'm not going to put a painting that I don't like on my wall.
Yeah.
Just because it's by a certain artist.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
I'm not going to put something in my head, in my ears, that is telling me that I'm not worthy of being here. Why?
So
that's
here
like
for
internalised homophobia. Why would I do that?
Exactly. So we're here for uplifting music, and especially with our beauty base, we're definitely having that more inclusive, beautiful music vibe. So thank you for being here today and talking to me about this. This is a massive topic. We understand we haven't really touched on as much as we want, but we wanted to just give you a flavour of our thoughts. So thank you and say bye.
Thank you very much and goodbye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Now, this is another special selection from... It's the Terry Starr selection! Mr. Terry Starr, do you like that? It is, though, isn't it?
That was very good. You should introduce me more often.
The Star Selector! So why did you select that one?
I selected that. It's a track called Ice Blink Luck by the Cocteau Twins.
Yep.
I just like it. So that was a personal indulgence.
Oh, okay.
That is one of my favourite tracks. And... the vocalist on that is Elizabeth Fraser, who is perhaps best known as being working with Massive Attack here from Bristol on Teardrop. She was the vocalist on Teardrop.
Oh.
But Cocteau Twins was the band she was on during the 1980s. And we know also that she's gay-friendly because she recently did a very rare public appearance, because she's quite reclusive, with John Grant, the gay singer, in aid of Stonewall, actually talking about her career. So there.
A little
bit of a gay connection there.
So there we are. Have you had a bit of music on there to celebrate your 30 years in radio?
Very kind. I hope people enjoyed it.
Yeah, so. I did at least.
Thank you.
You know what I'm like.
Okay, now Friday the 5th of July, that's tomorrow if you're listening to the live show, is the International Day of LGBTQ plus people in science, technology, engineering and maths. It's also known as STEM. LGBTQ plus people in STEM continue to struggle openly to be themselves. There's been a history of a culture in which LGBTQ issues have been ignored or not considered valid in the sector, so particularly academia. International Day of LGBTQ people in STEM is supported by many companies, museums and learned organisations in the STEM industry. So, and these believe that a day of recognition goes a long way in helping to raise awareness and increase support. They say it's also an important component of the global push to increase diversity and inclusion in STEM itself. Now, Lara, you're a fellow STEM professional, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Yes. Are you doing anything in your department, your chemistry department? Are they marking?
No. So it's actually funny how it worked out, because I not only work for We The Curious, who are putting it on, work for Kiki, who have always been invited there, and I also work for University of Bristol, who have also been invited. So, like, I'm there hopefully from around about 1:30 if I can.
Uh-huh.
And that's with Kiki, and we're talking about, well, not only being LGBTQ plus in STEM, but also being BME LGBTQ plus in STEM. So
you just want to tick more boxes, don't you?
I'm such a box ticker. I do love it. Can't help it. But yeah, no, it's such an important day for us, and a day of recognition that I haven't really seen in the last 5 years that I've been in Bristol.
Well, this is fairly new. I mean, they had a big one, first one last year, so it's definitely gathered more momentum this year.
It has.
If you want to find out more, just search for Pride in STEM on the internet, or follow the hashtag LGBTQ STEM Day, or visit prideinstem.org. And a big shout out to all the scientists and engineers out there who are LGBTQ+.
Keep pushing on.
Steffi.
Definitely. Yes, we got a big carnival coming up in Bristol, and BCFM Ujima and BBC Radio Bristol, we'll be broadcasting live on Saturday from the carnival. So that's good. And if you've never seen the St. Paul Bristol Carnival, you need to get to see it. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
It's quite vibrational, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, the weekend after, we will be broadcasting Pride.
But also, there's UK Black Pride in London on the Sunday.
That's just true, yes, yes,
all
yes.
All my BME people out there, QT Pox, make sure you get down and see me. So, I'll be with the purple hair. So.
Okay, take your recorder.
No, I will, don't worry.
Yeah, so lots coming up over the next, couple of weekends, isn't it?
It is. We'll be broadcasting live from midday on the Saturday the 13th until 10 p.m. at night on 8 stations, but the BBC will be joining us between 2 and 6.
Perfect. Well, we shall look forward to that. And that's all we have time for on this week's show.
If you'd like to listen again to this or any other episode of Shout Out, you can catch us by visiting shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week's all improvised. Well, I don't think the actual show is, but we'll be hearing all about improvised and unscripted theatre. So until then, from me and the team, we say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.